Good evening, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back to our final episode of the day. We have some corporate commentary from one of our sponsors, and that is Great Bear Resources today. Happy to be welcomed in by the CEO once again, Mr. Chris Taylor. Great Bear trades on the TSX Venture with GBR and on the OTCQX with GTBAF. Chris, we haven't been able to talk about it over the last couple of weeks just because it hadn't closed, but the financing did close. Cash in the bank, you released your updated exploration strategy for the rest of the year, and my gosh, you got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, thanks, Trevor. Yeah, I mean, with that financing closing, we're sitting at just over $100 million in the bank, and we have some pretty aggressive goals to achieve, like completion of the maiden resource drilling. So yeah, we put out some information about that just this morning.
Yes, so just a couple quick bullet points and then we'll kind of get your overall assessment of this. You may almost double your budget from $25 million to $45 million, and you are going to drill approximately 400,000 meters, and this is going to expand the entirety of the Dixie project. Tell us, you know, other than size, what here changes?
Like, really, this is about efficiency of drilling, and it's about being able to hit our targets, which are finishing off that shallow portions of the system, just sort of that tip of the iceberg approach, kind of 0 to 400 meters roughly depth of that maiden resource delivery. So the point that we keep having to make here is really about the size. Like, we're going to have at the end of the year, there'll be 400,000 meters drilled at Dixie, which is going to equate to roughly 600 drill holes. And it's almost an impossible number to get your head around. And I also often have conversations with our VP exploration, Bob Singh, and he'll list this hole number and that hole number. And I said, Bob, I really don't remember what hole that is anymore, because there's so many of them. So what we're dealing with here is just a system that's very, very large. So when the initial maiden resources are eventually calculated and published, there'll be more drilling on that system simply because it's so big. And I think that'll get us to that sort of that tier one type category, that major project category that the LP fault and the Dixie project as a whole is really looking like.
There's a great opportunity here, and this goes back to a conversation you and I continue to have. Basically, from surface to 400 meters depth, you continue to find mineralization. It fits your geological model. But there's always that going further down, going deeper to depths greater than 750 meters. And the conversations you and I have had in, you know, weeks and months past is, you know, that's, we'd love to drill and explore down deeper, but we don't necessarily need to at this moment. But given this influx of cash, does this really open the door for that possibility for more deeper drilling now?
We will be doing deeper drilling over the course of the year. And we had a couple of these news releases last year. I think one was around May, where we did a deep hole in the Dixie Limb Zone. And one was, I think, November, when we hit a really deep hole in the Hinge Zone. And of course, there's deeper drilling coming up on the LP fault as well. So it'll keep happening over the course of the year. And I think really the goal, and I know we talked about this was before, was to give eventually to deliver a resource number for that shallow, you know, 0 to 400 meters, but to have already hit it to more than twice that depth. So even when the initial numbers come out, you can know based on the drilling that's already been done that it's going to be two times that size, or whatever the multiple happens to be, based on the extra depth potential. And that's simply function. Those holes are really long. You'd be drilling like a kilometer long, 2 kilometer long drill holes in some cases to be able to hit those sort of depths, mainly because like as you know, the LP fault system, we can see mineralization in some of these drill holes over 300 or 400 meters of downhole length. So the system is so wide that in order to hit it at depth, you really have to have quite a long hole going across it. And really the efficiency, what we think a lot of immediate value for shareholders is defining that near surface envelope, but showing that deeper upside and showing that it's real, showing that it's there, showing that it's the same type of mineralization, the same type of rocks. And once we get it down to that level, we'll still be really just what the market and our peers would consider near surface in the context of Red Lake mining, because those mines go down to, you know, over 2 kilometers vertical depth, and we don't have any intention of drilling holes that deep in the near future. We'll probably cut off the depth drilling at about 800, 900, maybe 1,000 meters to show that it keeps going. Ultimately, when you want to go deeper than that, that's development stage drilling. Those are where you're putting exploration drifts in and you're doing drill holes from underground at some point in the future.
I know when the original announcement of this financing was announced, after it was originally announced, it was upsized to $70 million. It was a bought deal, private placement, a flow through. So the money needs to be put into exploration expenses in Canada. And I know it's like, you know, if you look at the numbers, like, you know, this industry is plagued by dilution. But given where Great Bear is with its market cap, can you kind of settle the tide here when it comes to that dilution argument?
Well, it's one of these things. The one way you can absolutely guarantee that your company is going to get diluted is if you have a lot more work to do and you're out of money. So that's something we always pay attention to. So with the financing that we just raised, it was $70 million. To do that, we issued 4 million shares. So we took the share count from, 53 million shares to 57 million shares issued and outstanding. So it was really a de minimis amount of dilution, and it brought in a great deal of money. And that gives us it gives us stability, it gives us staying power, and it makes sure that we are able to deliver these sort of resource products to the market well before we're out of cash. We even said in the news release that we had out today, probably even at the end of 2021, when we're finished all that drilling, we'll probably still have about $60 million in the bank, and we could do the whole thing all over again in 2022 and still not be out of money. That's a good position. That's protection for your shareholders. That's protection for shareholder value. And I think that's, you know, when you have a share count like Great Bear, which is now post-financing with $100 million in the bank, you know, we have about a $2 per share cash value. And you're looking at still only under 60 million shares issued and outstanding. It's pretty incredible, actually.
One of the bullet items in this morning's news release that caught my attention, just because, you know, there's always so much focus on Dixie, is you're starting to maybe turn some attention to other properties you have in the portfolio. Can you expand on that?
Yeah, there's a few. By regional exploration, we intended to mean two things, really. Number one is the Dixie project is really big. It's over 20 kilometers long in strike extent, and there's other targets that we haven't yet tested right at Dixie. So because it's so big, those need to be tested. But we have other projects across the Red Lake area, and those are projects that we picked because we like them geologically. Quite simply, they sit on other targets that our geologists, Bob Singh, the other geologists that are on his team, they feel that they have really good exploration potential. So we've been working on these quietly for a couple of years now, doing initial field work and other investigations. And this is a year where we're allocating additional $1 million out of our budget. Our $45 million budget will be allocated to additional work there, which may define additional drill targets. So that's the sort of thing I think you can't factor it in. And against the value of the LP fault, really, it's small potatoes at this point. But if we're right about some of these theories, it's additional long-term potential benefits for shareholders. And that's why we don't take our foot off the gas pedal of exploration. It's got to keep going in that regional sense as well.
Can you expand on some of the other targets at Dixie you want to touch with this strategy?
Well, there's a couple of major trends on the Dixie project. One of them is the LP fault itself. So it runs on a northwest to southeast direction across the project. And that's where we're getting the majority of the gold. That's where out of 400 drill holes we have on the project right now, there's 250 on the LP fault and 150 divided between the Dixie Limb Zone and the Hinge Zone. There's another big regional fold which affects the Dixie project. And that one is very similar to the big regional fold that is also present right at the Red Lake Gold Mine that's operated by Evolution Mining. And that's produced close to 30 million ounces of gold at this point over its life. So what we're finding is that regional fold axis, the line that you fold the rocks along, that also hosts a number of gold occurrences like the Dixie Limb Zone and like the Hinge Zone especially. And we think that along changes in geology, along strike, along that trend, there is potential for additional discovery. And one of those targets that we tested last year was the Arrow Zone, and that was another occurrence of Red Lake-style high-grade golden veins in quartz veins at a geological contact along that trend. So there's really these two big linear or planar trends, depending on how you look at it, that cross the project, and they're quite, you know, to some extent, sort of sub-parallel. So those are two trends that we need to do more work on, going forward.
Okay. Outside of the exploration work, maybe if we take a step back and look at the company structure, are you looking at anything else to getting in front of new investors? Like what I'm thinking is potentially looking at the U.S. equity markets, a U.S. big board listing by chance this year.
I think it's more likely in our case. Their peer group now on the Toronto Venture Exchange is, mostly it's companies that are quite a bit smaller than us. Whereas in terms of companies that have sort of the market presence of a Great Bear, most of them are sitting on the Toronto main board. And I think that's a direction that the company should take very seriously and think about whether we should upgrade that listing. And I think that would put us in a more reasonable peer group.
What's the benefits, just out of curiosity, moving from the venture to the TSX?
I think some of this is related to the kind of investors that we're attracting into Great Bear right now are very sophisticated institutional investors. And if you look at the last private placement, the one that we just closed here, what you can see is that there was a list of 14 institutions that are now Great Bear shareholders. So that list of institutional shareholders is going to grow over time. And many of these companies are actually, they're going out on a limb a bit to invest in Great Bear because it's still a pre-resource stage company. And that's highly unusual to have already over 400 holes on a project and not have a resource yet is simply a function of us, not of any kind of failing. It's actually a symptom of our success because the zones that we're drilling off, the LP in particular, is so big that it's taking a great deal of time to get that resource together. We think that we'll be through that process this year, this calendar year. But these companies that are now investing in us, they're more typically investing in companies that have published resources that sit on like a big big board listing like you're talking about. And that's why to make it compatible with a more reasonable group of peers, I think that's a reasonable direction for Great Bear to move in.
Chris, appreciate your time. It's nice to talk to you. I mean, Great Bear was one of very few junior explorers that actually had a little bit of green in their chart today. So I guess that was a good sign. It was a pretty brutal day all around. But I look forward to catching up with you again. Perhaps we'll do that again later this month. But best of luck to you and the team. And until next time, take care.
Thanks, Trevor. I hope to talk to you again soon.
That's Chris Taylor, CEO of Great Bear Resources. Again, they trade on the TSX Venture with GBR and on the OTCQX with GTBAF. The information presented should not be considered investment advice. Mining Stock Daily and its affiliates are not responsible for any loss arising from any investment decision in connection with the material presented herein. Please do your own research or speak with a licensed financial representative before making any investment decision.